This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And this is Kathy Dawes, and we bring with us now State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan via phone. And I know you're in Topeka, a very busy place these days, Tom. And, of course, everyone's talking about the budget and taxes and maybe just the very latest on that, if you could for us, please.
Well, yes, we are in the middle of it. You might say we're in the thick of it. This is the veto session, and I think that even beyond budget and taxes is figuring out how long we're going to be here and how we're going to get to a solution that likely has to be veto-proof, because the last tax bill we tried to do a couple months ago, 2178, which raised a fair amount of money, maybe not quite enough, was vetoed by the governor. The House overrode that veto, but the Senate could not. So when we talk about the budget and taxes now, a quick report on that is I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, and yesterday we did kick our final budget bill out, called the Omnibus. We have the rescission bill, budget bill, then we have what is called the mega bill, which we passed before the break, before the veto session, and then the final one's Omnibus bill. It's not come across the Senate floor because we just kicked it out of Ways and Means yesterday. But that's sort of the status of where that's at. The House has not passed the mega bill yet, and they're working on the omnibus bill. Representative Carlin from Manhattan's on that committee. On the tax committee, Representative Phillips is on that, and they've been working with several plans that they were looking at, but none of them had enough Republican votes for them to bring up. And again, some politics being played because leadership is saying, well, the Democrats have blocked this. Well, we didn't even get a chance to vote on it, so I can't say that it was us. I think there was a concern that none of those tax bills so far have raised enough money. And last night, the Senate Tax Committee did a two-bracket tax plan that they're bringing out, and I think we may work on that today, and that may spin us over into Saturday and Sunday to work on. But I'm guessing we still have a few weeks left to pull this together.
Now, Tom, you'd mentioned before we went on air that you heard from a group calling itself Traditional Republicans for Common Sense, and they had some things to say about the budget, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that with us.
I would, and the person who's the chair of those Traditional Republicans at this year is Lana Olin, our former majority leader from Manhattan, who did a great job as a Republican in the Kansas Senate for several years. And that group has close to 100 Republican former legislators. And they sent out a very well-worded letter that is saying that the structural out-of-balance budget that we have now has been a result of the 2012 income tax cuts that the governor wanted and signed his glide path to zero. And They essentially are challenging every legislator, Republican or Democrat, not to take the easy way out, not to do a short-term measure, but to get back on track, balance the budget, get the revenue stream stable, fund our schools, fund our highways, take care of business. And I don't think there's any news to the people listening to your radio show. That's not been the case. And it's going to take a lot of political courage to stand up. I tell people that all of us have our own personal views. Some of them may be extreme. I sit next to people who have more extreme views than I do. But I think when the voters elect us here, they vote us to ultimately come to the table and find common ground and compromise and do that. And I think that's really what Lana Olin and that Traditional Republicans, who I do think have a great deal of common sense, and they were very successful in their day, and we should repeat that. And at the end of her letter, she points out that she thinks we are definitely going to have to be able to override the governor, because frankly, the governor, in my view, and I think in many of my Republican friends, is just not at the table helping us find a compromise. He's holding very rigidly to his old plan, and I don't think any of his plans do anything except continue to borrow money and dig us a deeper hole, and it's time to quit.
Of course, I know the number changes almost constantly, but we're hearing in budget shortfalls at least $887 million. I know there was even talk earlier that up to a billion, but it's frightening to hear those numbers. It really is.
Well, and the sad thing is, I think the public's just becoming keenly aware of that. We were at least discussing that in my Democratic caucus clear back in January. And I think one of the things that disappointed me a lot was that our leadership, both in the House at the Speaker level and in the Senate at the President of the Senate, President Weigel, and Majority Leader Denning, didn't vote for a bill that would have gotten us so far down the road so we could really address the school finance issue. And when people talk about what we're missing this next year, $300 or $400 million that we have to come up with as at a minimum, that doesn't include what we put in for school finance. And then the next year, another $300 to $400 million. So we're talking about, as you said, $800 to $900 million that we're just short. The revenues, because of the tax cuts, essentially the loophole where businesses are not paying, but their employees who are on wages do pay, has certainly put us in a hole. But we also lowered the rates to the point where we need to get those rates back up where they were. And I keep saying, and so do many of my newly elected Republicans and my Democratic caucus, that we just need to go back to where we were. People kind of had, especially the business loophole gave people a tax holiday. The holiday needs to end now, and we need to be grown-ups and be responsible and get back on track.
I don't want to take too much more of your time because I know you're actively working there in Topeka, but the concealed weapon, you mentioned the Senate Ways and Means Committee earlier. Apparently they did approve a bill yesterday that would give medical facilities and mental health centers a permanent exemption from that gun rights law, and maybe address that. You think that's going to go on through?
I hope it does, and I think it will. We did, and you're correct. We had heard that bill, and in fact, last week we took a trip, Ways and Means and Appropriations, and the State Building Committee went to Osawatomie. We also went to the federal prison in Lansing, and we saw what the facility is like in Osawatomie, and both Osawatomie and Larned, and two at K&I and another facility, mental health facilities. The staff there, and even the governor agrees, guns is not the place for it. If we would do what it takes in the law, it would cost $25 million to go ahead and put the magnetometers in, so the metal detectors, and then you must have an armed guard there. We have people in our mental institutions that are there who may have committed murder and are innocent due to insanity. And to allow them or the people who come in to see them have guns is absurd. And I'm really frustrated with the Kansas Rifle Association. I'm on their mailing list, too, and they sent an email out last night, and I've had several of their members email me talking about how taking away their Second Amendment rights to carry guns into mental health facilities and adult care homes, et cetera. But not one mention of our state mental hospitals, and anybody who has, in my view, who has some common sense, as a Republican letter says, would not want to have somebody who is in a mental hospital have a gun, and for us to spend $25 million when we shouldn't have to do that. So this bill primarily was there to take away the requirement that guns be allowed on that Osawatomie site and in that mental institution and Larned, et cetera. Makes good common sense. I think there's agreement on both sides of the aisle, even though it's sort of a political football litmus test to talk about gun rights. Even the Heller case that we are into that decided that Second Amendment rights would be moved up a notch did not say that there weren't, Judge Scalia did not say there weren't logical places not to have guns, and certainly certain government buildings and a mental institution. Now, in my own view, I think we ought not to have the guns on college campuses, and certainly when we change the law so there's no permit or training, and we would have young people who are in college carrying guns who have had no training whatsoever. And I did try to make an amendment that would extend the exemption or remove that or continue the exemption so we wouldn't have it on college campuses, but I didn't have enough support in committee yesterday to do that. So I think we'll very likely be presenting that amendment when we work the bill on the floor. And I've had many faculty and students tell me that they absolutely don't want guns on K-State campus, and I certainly agree with that logic.
Well, Tom, we appreciate taking a few minutes of your time. We'll let you get back to work and always keep us posted. We do appreciate that. State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan with us today. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have Riley County Extension 4-H agent John Jobe already in the studio with us. He'll be next. Lots of things to talk about with him, too. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
KMAN weather is powered by Colbert Hills Golf Course and Restaurant.